Coming up.
My friend Dave Pesquazy, many years as a working actor, you were part of one of my favorite ever Second City cast.
Bob Odenkirk, Tim Meadows, Chris Fred. Farley. Unlike that song, if you can't make it in Chicago, you can't make it anywhere.
Let's show the people how improv work.
Holy
Yeah.
I was not informed that anything like this would happen.
That's why it's called improv. Okay.
Success doesn't happen by accident.
John Imisotti talks with real media geniuses on Conversations with Giants.
Today, I'm joined by Dave Pesquazy, veteran Chicago voiceover artist, actor, and improv talent extraordinaire. Dave's a familiar face to many on stage and screen.
It's great to have my friend Dave Pesquazy here today. Conversations with Giants.
Giants?
A man of stature.
Oh, okay, okay, because only 6'3", and I don't know that qualifies in most parts of the world.
No, I would say just the fact of many years as a working actor, whole lot of commercial parts that we'll get to later, but just stage, screen, and one of the things I think like you're really amazing at, I'd like to start with, is the whole improv thing.
Okay.
So you were part of one of my favorite ever Second City cast.
That was a pretty fun group.
Yeah, you had Farley, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Bob Odenkirk came a little later. At first, it was Joe List, Joel Murray, Tim Meadows, Chris right. Farley, Holly Wartell, and Judith Scott. That was the cast. And then Odenkirk came in. Jill Talley came in.
Right.
Yeah.
That was an amazing.
Tim O'Malley.
That was an amazing group.
It was a pretty good time.
Yeah, I saw you guys a lot. Second City, obviously a huge thing for improv. It's, you learned right from the master, right? You
were student of Dell's for a while before we got hired at Second City.
Right, Del Close, who, you know, if you follow this stuff, just a legend in his own right.
And yeah, pretty much the guy who made long-form improvisation as entertainment in itself, he's the one who started it.
So did that come from, clear up my confusion, did that come from the old University of Chicago, Mike Nichols, Elaine May, The Herald, whatever?
The Herald was something else.
Okay.
It started out as Playwrights Theater Club.
Okay.
And that was Sills and Sheldon, and that became the Compass Players, and that became Second City.
So that starts in the 50s.
50s, right.
Right. University of Chicago.
Correct. And that started out as sketch. They were doing sketch review, cabaret shows, and they were developing their material using improvisation. So they'd improvise in front of an audience these scenes, and those they'd work on them, and they'd improve them and rehearse them in front of an audience.
Right.
And then they became the next review. The best ones of those were collected and became the next review.
So then Dell was the guy who formalized whatever there is of the process, or
well, in that case, they used improvisation only as a means to the product, which was scripted material or rehearsed material. Whereas Dell thought that the improvisation itself could be the entertainment for the evening, and he created this structure called the Herald, which was a long form, a group improvisation.
Right.
That and the Herald is a structure and also an exploration of themes.
You know, just my limited knowledge with it. I did a little Players Workshop. A lot of people who live in Chicago. Yeah, exactly. And it was a long time ago, so I can't remember all of the rules. But there's certain rules in it, like you're given the place in the scene. No swearing. Don't go to the cheap seats for your comedy. And I think a big one: commit 100% to whatever you're doing.
Absolutely, right. And those are, if not rules, they tend to occur when things are going well. Like to not do that puts the brakes on any of the exploration. Absolutely. And another way to say that, not playing to the cheap seats, is play at the top of your intelligence.
Right.
And most of the really good improvisers that I appreciate and teachers that I've had all will say that's pretty much, and not necessarily even go for the funny,
right,
but just be honest
and
in
see what comes up.
And see what happens, right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So some of the people that go through this, besides like the ones that we named, and I'll just go to like current day Hollywood, Saturday Night Live, just about everything on Saturday Night Live, if they're not from Second City, it'd be from the Groundlings.
Or which I.O. Is, here.
Now. Yeah, or I.O., which is, yeah, and there's, what do we have? We have about three, four improv groups.
Yeah, there's,
here,
well, there's I.O., Second City, Annoyance. Those are the three big ones. There's another one called the Chemically Imbalanced Comedy, which they do really cool stuff up there. And there's probably four other ones that are full-time improv theaters in Chicago.
Which is amazing. And then the names that that come out of it, from Steve Carell.
Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Sedaris, Paul Dinello.
Mm-hmm. And then
Tina Fey,
guys,
Rachel Dratch,
less
Adam McKay.
Well known, but great. Pete Holney.
That whole group. Holney, Coleman,
right.
Keckner, Flynn and
right.
Finn.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then we probably see it more even in like supporting roles in comedy. So it's amazing to me, like Hollywood, New York, but for me, modern comedy really is a Chicago thing. I think of it as that way.
I do as well. And one of the things is people, you learn here. And one of the benefits of being here, as one of the negatives of being here, they're not going to come and get you.
Right.
You're just here to do to work on stage. No one's going to be in the audience that's going to take you away and give you, that just doesn't happen here. So the only reason you're here is to get better.
And that's kind of like what goes on. I mean, even people like Favreau, he was here and learned all this stuff, and guys who become directors, is that like—
Harold Ramis as well, right?
Right, Ramis. And then, you know, I left off the whole obvious group with Belushi. And
oh, right, yeah.
Aykroyd, all these guys. But is that, I always think like in Hollywood, where, you know, I did a lot of commercials and stuff there. Hollywood's the kind of place, like, if you want to be an actor, if you were the guy or girl who was in high school that was like, I'm not quite sure what I want to do, but I was very good looking, I think I'll go out there and be an actor. And
but I was very good looking?
And I'm still obviously very good looking, and I think I can act. I'm going to go there. New York might be a different thing. It's just hard to go there. It's hard to live there. But what you're saying about Chicago is like, this is like a melting pot that you can get the everyman, the everywoman, or the comedy snob or something like that can come here.
Right. Yeah, my grandfather used to say that unlike that song about New York, he says, if you can't make it in Chicago, you can't make it anywhere.
Right.
Right. And it's just really, it's a great, community here. The people here are real helpful and supportive. And you can, if you have an idea, you can find a place to do it, and an audience will come and mm-hmm. see it if it's any good. And that's not the same as other cities.
Right. And you can kind of move between genres a little bit, because even though, like, again, I think of you as improv, but that's because that's where I first found you. And then in the advertising community, another good thing for actors, there's a lot of advertising done here, so we hire a lot of actors.
It's the reason that I get to stay in Chicago.
Right. I mean, you can make a living doing that. But we also have things like the Goodman, you know, and that the Steppenwolf. These are like pretty serious, pretty big-time things. And because it's a small enough community, you can play a part in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not typecast, right?
No, right. They're pretty, yeah. It used to be that kind of improvisers and sketch folk were not really considered for
right.
legitimate theater, but got my first job at the Remains Theater, which is
right.
no more, but they didn't care.
Right.
They didn't care where you were from. If you could do the job, they'd love to have you. And they were great. It was a guy, Larry Sloan, there. It was wonderful. And the same thing with Steppenwolf and the Goodman, I find. They'll take a look at anybody.
So because it's kind of a small community in a way, and you do know a lot of people, I think a lot of people, like if you watch the movies and they talk about actors, or you watch something like Entourage, it's so cutthroat, and everybody will kill each other for a part, and, you know, a walk-on part in a sitcom or whatever. What you're saying doesn't... Yeah, exactly.
A walk-on part in a sitcom?
Exactly. You know, second guy, you know, like he's over there, you know. Nailed it.
Nice job, man.
Right. But you're kind of saying, like, in this community, maybe it's a little bit more help the other guy, maybe, you know.
There's a saying that in Los Angeles, you're on stage with people who hope they never have to do this again. And in Chicago, you're on stage with people who hope they get to do this for the rest of their lives.
Wow.
And I think that, you know, it's funny, but it's also, I think there's a little truth to it. It's really, they're not interested in stage stuff. And that's a generalization because it's entirely true. But in Chicago, there just tends to be more people that are here to do this, just this right now.
Right.
Not like, what will this lead to?
Right, right. Although this will lead to things. Trust me. Yeah. Trust me, baby. This leads to stuff. Uh-huh.
Yeah, when we first started doing improvisation, it was a guaranteed dead end. So that attracted a certain type of person.
Right.
It was great. It was, all of us, zero ambition.
Right.
Just, it was wonderful.
You know, that touches on another little thing that we kind of see in comedic performers. You think of Second City, it's comedy or whatever, but so many people that do comedy seem like they really flourish when they're in sad parts or serious parts. I mean, I think that just happens a lot. Is that true or?
Well, I think if people are good, they're just good.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were mentioning before about people who are attractive. And, you know, you watch your TV or your films and you're just like, oh, as an actor, that person's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the extent of what's happening. They can barely speak.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand why they're there. And,
right.
And, but other folks, if they're good, and I think this kind of thing, it's not, stand-up's a different thing. I think stand-up, those people are really funny and it's about their brain and their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, an actor who does comedy is a sometimes, or oftentimes, when they're really good at that, they're just good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to be a comedic actor, you're still an actor.
And just to dumb it down, meaning you're good, you're not just playing yourself. You can get into somebody else, another character's head, and kind of become that person, or you can...
Well, yeah, I think there's different kinds of good. Because, I mean, we were talking earlier about someone like a Meryl Streep, who it changes between every role, but then there's someone else who's fantastic, say a Robert De Niro. He doesn't necessarily change all that much between roles, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You're always seeing that that's... So I don't know that it's merely just disappearing within a character, but just to be believable is my definition of
right.
good, is to be believable in whatever it is that you're doing or saying.
I guess that sometimes maybe that's a way that you do mark a good actor too, or a good filmmaker. Because it's kind of funny. It's like almost the opposite, I think, of what people think. People think, the funny thing, that's pretty easy. I can be funny. I know guys are funny. My Uncle Mike's funny. I'm funny. I crack people up. But there's a lot of people who, like, when you try to do funny, it's very hard. It's very hard to be a funny actor. And like you're saying, Robert De Niro, everybody knows he's a great actor. But he's pretty funny when he just turns it a little way and,
yep.
you know, different
Absolutely.
Things. The same thing like Robin Williams, who, different thing, funny stand-up,
mm-hmm.
Definitely do funny parts, but could really be an affecting, serious actor.
Yep, you know? I agree.
But there are a lot of, I guess, people that we think of as good actors or good filmmakers who the comedy thing they just lay off of 100%.
Yeah, and like you know, you always hear those people say, dying's easy, comedy's hard, whatever. I don't know about that, but they're separate. I mean, they're different things. I've heard other folks talking about how they'd done television, and they had done drama, and they had done comedy, showrunner.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when we had a hard time with the comedy, it was a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But if we need a 5-minute dramatic scene, can do that in no time.
Right.
It's just like, okay, get some guy to...
We used to say that, or I used to when we were doing funny commercials or things. It's like, you know, yeah, it's easy for people to look at it and say, well, that's not funny enough. But if you're doing... Few people look at something and say, that's just not dramatic enough. You know,
uh-huh.
That's not heartwarming uh-huh. enough for me.
I don't feel enough.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's a tough thing. But, you know, yourself, you've done a lot of things, you know. Right now, I guess you're really doing a big improv thing with I'm going to murder this name.
T.J. Jagodowski.
Jagodowski.
Mm-hmm. T.J. Jagodowski.
There's a Chicago guy, huh?
He's actually Massachusetts, but yeah, he's got a Chicago name.
He's a Ditka type.
He's pretty erudite guy.
Yeah, and he's probably well known to the world because he's one of the guys in the Sonic commercials who's always at Sonic.
He's the passenger in those Sonic commercials. The other guy's Pete Gross, another guy that came through Second City.
Wow, that's amazing. So you guys do something every night. What's this whole show?
It's called TJ and Dave, and we improvise. It's just the two of us, and we start, and we are done in about an hour. And that's all that we know is going to
good definition.
Yeah, that's all that we know is going to. That's all we're sure. We're guaranteeing it's going to be made up.
Yeah.
They kind of look like plays, I guess. It's just us, but we play a bunch of different people as need be. Last night was in a college, and there was, I don't know, about eight people we were playing.
Do you guys set the scene and the character? Or is this an audience participation?
Neither. Like, the lights come up and we start whatever this feels like. Yeah, we don't know what it's going to be.
Wow.
So and we don't discuss it at all.
That's awesome.
It's really fun. And we go to New York to do that as well. We're actually going tomorrow. We'll do four shows in New York.
Really?
The Barrow Street Theater.
Man, that's cool. And this is going to be a standing gig here for quite a while.
Yeah, we've been doing it for 13 years.
Okay, that's pretty standing.
It's a while.
There you go.
And and we wrote a book about improvisation, about this kind of improvisation.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Another thing you've been doing lately that I like a lot, it's on the World Wide Web, will be.
Oh, is this on?
Yeah.
Would this be viewed as competition to the other programming?
It's probably a lead-in or a sister thing. They'll probably help each other.
A companion piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could watch this any place in the world.
Okay. Any place in the world.
Yeah.
Great. That's
it's
wonderful.
It's kind of a big deal.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's worldwide distribution.
Yeah. It's everywhere.
All right.
But you're doing the Graveyard Show,
Show, yes, with Chris Stolte.
Right.
We're on camera, and the three of us write it, Ron Lazzaretti, Chris, and I.
And
he directs it.
We had Ron Lazzaretti on a previous show.
I'm terribly sorry. That's a difficult time.
Yeah.
Spending time with him is difficult, isn't it?
He's a jerk, as we call him. Actually, we call him the jerk, Ron Lazzaretti.
Oh.
You know, he threatened me and he brutalized my staff.
My goodness. Well, that doesn't surprise me, but I'm sorry.
Well, you're not his keeper.
No.
In defense of him, I think he was pretty hammered.
Okay.
So, you know, we will see, but... At any rate, somehow he pulled that together.
Yeah.
And I believe he might even be gracious enough to let us play this clip.
Here he comes. Here comes the guy. Let the finest part of my workday begin.
Hey.
How long have I sat here wondering, now? Now? Is he coming now? Now? When will I be finally rescued from this boundless tedium by even the briefest of visits from my winsome and charismatic co-worker?
I had to install a chandelier.
Boy, the other guy's good, isn't he?
He is good. He is good.
He's good.
Yeah. That's Christian Stolte from your Chicago Fire.
I like a guy like that who can do a whole lot without, you know, with eyes and he's saying stuff. I mean, you're Chatty Cathy in that thing, but you're doing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he wrote that also.
He wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
That is a talented man.
He's talented.
He's very talented.
He's talented, yeah, and Ron directed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we have the jerk Ron Lazzaretti
directing. Christian Stolte.
Acting.
Mm-hmm.
And
writing.
And there you are.
And then I'm also there.
And you're in there.
Mm-hmm.
A funny piece. It's a great series. It's a great show. You're doing more of these. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, we do a bunch of them. And you can find them at thegraveyardshow.com.
Wow. Also worldwide.
On the World Wide Web.
But after this brief commercial message, because we like commercials.
Oh, great.
We're going to come back.
I like commercials, too.
Pay the bills.
Someone once said, there's no such thing as a bad idea. To which we say, the Edsel, New Coke, Betamax, and Touch of Yogurt Shampoo. Here's a thought. See an idea is bad before you create it? Now that sounds like a pretty good idea. At Epsilon, we have more data than anyone else and use it like no one else, which is why we see what others don't. Learn more at Epsilon.com.
So we're back.
That was a wonderful, wonderful commercial.
Did we enjoy it? kind of feel like we're getting warmed up here. I'm going to like hang this one out there. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go on the edge.
All right.
It's a rare thing for me.
Okay.
Let's show the people how improv work.
Oh, wow.
Right. We're going to set a scene.
Holy s***.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
I was not informed that anything like this would happen.
That's why it's called improv.
Okay.
And I'm no slouch. The scene. Maybe we're auditioning for a show. Maybe it's called Chicago Teachers Union.
Chicago's Teachers Union is the name of the show?
It's the name of the show.
Okay.
I'm Philip Wilson.
Hey, Phil.
I'm the principal of the school. I'm very by the book type.
Okay.
And you're a teacher who plays by his own set of rules, a bit outside the box.
Uh-huh. Some may say with a mental illness.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. We don't know that.
But that's just their judgment.
The important thing is you're getting through to the kids. You teach Williams.
Teach and teach. Phil?
Yeah. Or doctor.
Teach is
doctor,
fine.
Okay. Teach Dr. Philip Williams.
Teach like the character from the Mammoth play? I'll be that.
Yeah. Okay. You can be that.
Ruthie, that guy, right?
Yeah. We can't swear, but.
We can't swear. Okay.
Well, it's for television.
Okay.
All right. Let's enter the scene.
I thought this was the World Wide Web. Oh, the auditions for television. Network television, not cable.
God, you would work so much more if you would listen to like what we're saying.
Okay, but not a smaller cable.
No, it's a big thing.
Network thing, like a four-camera thing?
Yeah, we're going to do it. Are you ready?
You're
the teacher.
Yeah, and you're the principal.
I'm the principal. I'm calling you into my office.
Okay.
Get ready.
Okay.
Scene. Mr. Williams, come into my office. Have a seat. Mr. Williams, you're... methods are unconventional.
Yeah, that's but I get through to the kids.
Do you want to tell me why they were standing on their desk today, doodling on the ceiling?
Change perspective.
That's not by the book.
Well, but it's physically to change perspective. If you know, they're used to looking at things at this level. If they get up another 3 or 4 feet, then they can see what isn't a canvas.
Mr. Williams,
that's
that
a better
is
question.
Not a part of our curriculum.
That's a better question. Rather than what is a canvas, what isn't a canvas?
Mr. Williams, you know I don't throw you out of my office in a New York minute.
Why is that, Principal Phil?
Phillips. Because you're the best damn teacher I've got.
I get through to the kids.
Now, get the hell out of my office. Scene.
Wow, that was pretty tight. That was pretty tight. That's a good one, that teachers union, Chicago Teachers Union.
Would that not be with chalkboards and...
Chalkboards and also a terrible mayor.
Terrible mayor
trying to take away all their money always.
And the schools are getting closed and there's strikes.
Great.
There's not enough money to...
Not enough
teach.
Money.
Teach, I can't pay you. I can't ask you to come in this week. I can't pay you.
That's not going to keep me out.
I'd fire you in a New York minute if I... didn't respect you so damn much for getting through to the kids. Next week on Chicago Teachers Union.
Chicago Teachers Union.
Yeah, and you could teach gym.
That's AFL, right? Well, for sure AFL-CIO. Can't be anything else, right?
No,
that's
it's
all
gonna
of
be,
them. Isn't that all of them?
Right. Actually, I think we just went non-union even just doing the improv bit to sell it, but it is.
Oh, I can't.
Right.
Oh, I can't.
Well, we'll just...
I can't.
You can't World Wide Web this thing. It might not get through in Chicago.
Boy, SAG will be all over me. Oh, boy.
Actually, that leads to another question. You're an actor. You're in a lot of stuff now. You get stopped on the street. Do people...
Once in a while.
And they'll be like, hey, you're...
I like it when I get stopped. Hey, TJ and Dave.
Hey, you're Graveyard.
That one I like too. It doesn't happen that often, but I enjoy that.
Would you like it more?
I wouldn't like that more. I'd like more people to watch Graveyard.
Well, this will get through. Are you going to make more?
We will.
A lot of us want to know, are you going to make more?
We probably will make more. We don't have any plans not to.
Okay.
No definitive plans to not make more.
There's no work animosity? No creative differences?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but that's where the fire comes in.
That's
where the fire comes in.
Yeah, we don't care for one another.
Well, you work with... In this talk freely because this all gets cut out.
Okay.
The jerk Ron Lazzaretti.
The jerk Ron Lazzaretti and the very talented Kristen Stoltz.
And the very talented. But also.
Which that, well, no, that's frustrating and there's a lot of resentment from me
because
towards
him. Because he's so talented.
He's talented.
Right, right.
And that really, I don't like the bar being set quite that high.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you'll be played by another guy next year.
Me or him?
You.
Me. I'll be played by another guy.
Right. How about that?
Wow.
Now.
Yeah.
Now
yeah, that'll free up some time.
Now,
that's for sure.
Now
yeah.
There's some power. Just him. You just have him.
Yeah.
What if Graveyard was just him sweeping the floor talking to himself?
I'd watch. I gotta tell you.
that's good television. Almost. So back to loosely advertising television.
Uh-huh.
You've been in some movies.
Yep.
Hard to make a constant go of it as an actor and those kind of things here.
Certainly here. Yeah, this is not the best. I was sometimes talk to younger actors and like, well, what do you want to do? And like, well, it depends on what, what do you want to do, whether or not this is a good town for that. And one time I actually had a guy say, I want to work on Broadway. I'm like, this is
not a good town.
I think there's just one place on the planet that
well, you
happens.
You can work on Broadway, but it'll be like a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, right.
Or something
right.
like that, right?
Uh-huh. And so I think it's similar for if you really want to be in movies or on television, this is not the best town for that. But if you want to do improvisation, I think this is still the best town for it. And if you want to be on work on stage, I still think this is the best town for it.
And advertising, getting in that stuff that helped you.
As I say, and I don't take it lightly, the only reason I'm able to continue to live in Chicago is because of advertising.
Yeah.
And I consider it a real boon to be able to live here. Most of my friends don't get to live here. They have to live somewhere else. I just love it here. And it's because of the advertising. You know, that's the income that I've gotten from that is just, I'm real grateful.
I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't necessarily realize about people in acting or, you know, creative people in advertising. They think it's a tough slog. That's like, wow, this is really uncertain. There's nothing more uncertain than like being any kind of actor. Because you don't have a check day to day necessarily.
No, right. You're always, as soon as you walk out of the job, you're again unemployed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's unrealistic for a lot of people who have jobs to think they have security.
More and more so, for sure. Right.
Yeah, it used to be, you'd stay at a job for a long time, but now so it's the disparity there isn't as great as it used to be.
Right.
But yeah, it's constant uncertainty. The opposite, like I just went through a spell where I wasn't working much and people are just like, oh, that's great. It must be nice to take a vacation. A vacation is finite.
Right, right.
Right? It has an end when I know I'm going to go back to work. If I had that, I would love it.
Right.
But right now, I mean, you know, when you go through those times, like, I don't know if anything's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, do you ever, even today, do you ever nervously think like, oh, that's it, I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'll never.
Always.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you just never shake that off.
I don't think so, right? A friend of mine who's a musician, he said, I used to be able to enjoy the time when I was working, and then when I wasn't working, I was convinced I'd never work again. And he said, and now, even when I'm working, I realize, oh, this will end, and that will be the last time.
Right. I think that just happens so much in the creative arts, or you're worried that it's like, oh my God, they're going to use the other guy. Because like whatever parts, like, okay, that means the parts of Dave Pesquese's getting, oh my God, you know, the other guy who played Principal Mitchell in Chicago Teachers Union is probably getting him. You know,
I lose so many to him.
Yeah. He's devastating.
We were friends. Did you know that? Boy, that made it hurt even all the more.
You can't. That's how that guy always was. But so last thing before we leave, because we almost came to fisticuffs on this on social networking site Facebook. I believe we were having a bit of a discussion about the bonds. The greatest bond to the worst to the least bond. And I posted my opinions, which I stand behind, and you, sir, disagreed with me heartily. Explain why.
First of all, I merely disagreed because of the tenor in which you suggested it.
But go on.
But just that we had left out.
No, go ahead and listen.
That was like not just, there was like a head, not an eye roll, it was a head roll.
No, it's good. I'm listening. I care about your opinions.
Casino Royale.
Right. The original Casino Royale?
Unlisted.
Right.
And David Niven played a James
spoof,
Bond.
Sir. A spoof.
Nevertheless.
A spoof.
Or do they say nevertheless?
Spoof.
That spoofed a good Bond movie.
This right
I'll
now
put it
is,
up against.
This is so Gore Vidal, Buckley, intellectual bantering. It's like, it's so good. Because you're listening to us both,
right.
And it's an important topic.
It is an important
topic.
But
you could go either
One
way.
One of us doesn't care that much right. about it.
Right. But we don't know which one.
Be behind the curtain. One of us really is unconcerned.
Right.
No, yeah, I don't. I do enjoy. So I like bad movies. So we may have a different ranking system.
Mm-hmm.
Because I truly enjoy things that many
that are
people
bad.
View as bad. I guess objectively judged as terrible movies, I like them.
Okay.
Like an action movie, no matter how bad, I will probably enjoy.
So you like Roger Moore in an AMC Hornet or a running
yeah,
away
a gremlin
from...
Or, I don't think it was a Hornet.
It was a, right. a Matador or whatever, an airplane with no wings.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you'd think he was fighting...
sure, that would be okay. At the time, I think it's...
It was good at the time.
At the time, I think it's... I think part of it is at the time, the state of the art... insanity. Like, so I like these other ones, the ones where they drive the cars really fast and have a huge number.
Fast and Furious.
Yeah, and they have big numbers
Furious
at the end
eight.
Of the titles
right.
of the numbers keep getting bigger.
Oh my God, there's some good.
And I will believe that cars can fly and people can survive mile drops onto water and stuff,
yep.
but do not ask me to think that Vin Diesel can beat up The Rock.
Also, no matter where he's called in the world, he's got a supercharged vintage
yeah.
muscle.
Yeah, an old muscle car, yeah.
Daytona mm-hmm. or whatever.
And look, he can rock a fur coat.
He was like a brother to me.
Yeah, he likes family, evidently. He's real pro-family.
Right,
yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, I love The Rock. I like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, DTRJ. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. good. All right.
Well, for president.
You segued nicely out of the Bond fiasco, sir, which was to be finished,
mm-hmm.
to be continued,
to be
sir.
Continued, all right.
All right. But anyway, I really enjoyed having you.
Thanks a lot for having
we
me. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll do this again.
Conversations with Giants is produced by Eon Content Labs and brought to you by Epsilon. We see what others don't. All comments, discussions, materials, and information provided by participants in Conversations with Giants are strictly their own opinion and do not constitute any official position or views of Epsilon. Please refer to our terms of use for more information.